Hello, my name is Lahimi De Almeida, and I'm a pediatric intensivist at Emory University. Today, we are doing a special podcast on behalf of the World Federation of Pediatric Intensive and Critical Care Society's World PICU Awareness Week. On behalf of the team from North America, we will be discussing sepsis immunology to raise awareness in the topic of pediatric sepsis. Today, I have a special guest who will be shedding light on the topic of sepsis immunology. Pediatric sepsis affects children of all ages in every corner of the world. While particularly prevalent in low and middle income countries, pediatric sepsis continues to be a leading cause of hospital mortality in North America. Our guest is Dr. Jocelyn Grunwell, a pediatric intensivist and researcher at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta and Emory University. Dr. Grunwell's research focuses on understanding the biology of complex syndromes that affect critically ill children. These complex critical illness syndromes are defined by heterogeneity and include sepsis, pediatric acute respiratory distress syndrome, and children with life-threatening asthma attacks. Our lack of understanding the link between the underlying biology and clinical outcomes has hindered our progress in developing targeted therapies for diseases such as sepsis-induced multiple organ failure. The goal of Dr. Grunwell's research program is to understand why some children rapidly improve while others worsen and have lasting effects or die from sepsis, respiratory failure, or even asthma. By linking the underlying immune dysregulation of these critical illness syndromes with clinical phenotypes or subgroups, her ultimate goal is to develop targeted precision therapies for children with otherwise poor outcomes. On behalf of WIFPICS, thank you for joining us here today, Dr. Grunwell, to raise awareness about the important topic of sepsis immunology.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
So let's start with the basics. What is sepsis and how does it affect the body's immune system?
So sepsis is a life-threatening condition that occurs when the body's immune response to an infection becomes dysregulated. And this can lead to widespread inflammation and organ dysfunction. The classic signs and symptoms of sepsis are fever or even a hypothermia or a low body temperature in a newborn, tachycardia, tachypnea, capillary leak, and organ dysfunction, notably of the heart, brain, lungs, and kidneys. Normally, the immune system works to fight off infections, but in sepsis, the immune response can become overactive, causing damage to the body's own tissues and organs. In the 1980s and 1990s, there were many randomized controlled trials designed to reduce the pro-inflammatory response to sepsis in adults. But these trials of anti-inflammatory therapies failed to decrease the rate of death from sepsis. And this led physicians and scientists to try to understand and investigate the body's counter-regulatory immune response to sepsis. And this is also known as the compensatory anti-inflammatory response, or CARS. In some patients, the compensatory anti-inflammatory response is so severe that a state of immunoparalysis can result. And children and adults with immunoparalysis are at increased risk of getting serious infections that originate from the hospital, otherwise known as nosocomial infections. And patients with immunoparalysis can have prolonged organ dysfunction and die. New strategies to treat sepsis involve targeted immunomodulation with the goal of restoring immunologic balance.
Wow. Taking care of children with sepsis, while we have great management algorithms, can be really challenging. Every patient needs to be treated so differently. What are some of the key components of the immune response that are involved in sepsis?
Well, Lee, there are two sides of the immune system, the innate immune response and the adaptive immune response. The innate immune cells include neutrophils, monocytes, tissue macrophages, dendritic cells, natural killer cells, amongst others. Adaptive immune cells include B cells, which make antibodies, and T cells. There's two types of T cells, CD4 positive helper T cells and CD8 positive cytotoxic T cells. The CD8 T cells help fight infection by making enzymes that lyse or kill cells. Helper T cells make cytokines to help modulate and perpetuate the immune response. Cytokines are proteins that are secreted by immune cells that affect pro-inflammatory or anti-inflammatory responses in other cells, depending on the cytokine that's made. With stimulation, naive helper T cells can differentiate into pro-inflammatory, termed TH1 cells, that make cytokines such as interferon gamma and interleukin or IL-2. The TH2 type of cells are anti-inflammatory and are involved in allergic responses, but they can also help fight parasitic infections. The TH2 cells make cytokines such as IL-4, IL-5, and IL-13. There's another subtype called TH17 cells that make IL-17. These are also pro-inflammatory and often involved in autoimmune responses. TH17 cells help recruit neutrophils to sites of inflammation and infection. And finally, there are regulatory T cells, or Tregs, that are anti-inflammatory and secrete IL-10 and transforming growth factor beta, or TGF-beta. So when someone is infected with, say, a bacteria, the innate immune cells can immediately sense this because they have several different types of receptors that recognize foreign pathogen-associated molecular patterns, or PAMPs. For example, gram-negative bacteria make lipopolysaccharide, or LPS, and LPS is recognized by the pattern recognition receptor, the toll-like receptor 4, or TLR4. And this activates a whole cascade of signaling within the cell to try to combat this infection. So this PAMP pattern recognition receptor interaction activates innate immune cells and proceeds to kill the bacteria by enzymatic digestion or exposure to reactive oxygen species. After digesting and breaking down the bacterial proteins into smaller peptides or building blocks, the innate immune cell can present these peptides or antigens to helper T cells. This interaction activates the helper T cell or lymphocyte and activates the adaptive immune response. So it's a way for the innate and the adaptive immune systems to talk to each other. If the person has been exposed to this antigen before, the lymphocytes can remember this because they have a memory and they can respond more rapidly and with a greater magnitude than it, as if they had never seen this antigen before. The activated innate immune cells also make pro-inflammatory cytokines that can recruit more leukocytes to the site of infection. The compensatory immune response is the off switch, and every major biological pathway has a counter-regulatory system. The purpose of the counter-regulatory response is to prevent the spillover of pro-inflammatory cytokines into the systemic circulation, resulting in more tissue and organ damage. Lymphocytes can undergo non-inflammatory programmed cell death, termed apoptosis. Surviving innate and adaptive leukocytes can also skew their cytokine profiles towards producing an anti-inflammatory response, such as with cytokines like IL-10. The problem arises when the CARS response becomes prolonged and severe, resulting in immunoparalysis, and this makes it harder for the body to fight off infection. Immunoparalysis is a common issue in the ICU. It's really difficult to identify the CARS response. A special stimulatory lab test must be performed to identify immunoparalysis. This lab test involves simulating whole blood with lipopolysaccharide and measuring the production of a pro-inflammatory cytokine called tumor necrosis factor alpha, or TNF-alpha. If the TNF-alpha response is below a certain threshold, then the patient is said to be immunoparalyzed.
How does sepsis affect children, and how does the immune response differ in pediatric sepsis?
Sepsis can occur in children of all ages, but it's more common in infants and very young children, especially those who have underlying medical conditions. The immune response in pediatric sepsis is like that in adults, but there are some differences. For example, the immune system in newborns is less developed and may not respond as effectively to infections. Additionally, children with certain underlying medical conditions, such as immunodeficiencies or chronic illnesses, may have a weaker immune response, and they may be more susceptible to sepsis.
I see. How does our understanding of sepsis immunology inform the development of treatments for sepsis?
Well, understanding the underlying mechanisms of sepsis immunology is really crucial for the development of new treatments. One way to approach this is to phenotype a patient with sepsis. For example, by performing the whole blood LPS stimulation test and measuring the level of TNF-alpha as previously described, investigators have defined an immunoparalyzed phenotype. Patients who are immunoparalyzed may respond to an immune-stimulating medication such as granulocyte macrophage colony stimulating factor, or GM-CSF. Alternatively, biological medications that prevent lymphocyte apoptosis and improve lymphocyte responsiveness, such as IL-7, could be given to reverse immunoparalysis. The programmed DEATH1 or PD-1 pathway is another interesting target for immunomodulatory therapy in sepsis. PD-1 is a co-inhibitory protein made by lymphocytes that binds to its ligands PD-L1 and PD-L2. PD-L1 and 2 are expressed on innate immune antigen-presenting cells that result in lymphocyte apoptosis and deactivation. By blocking the PD-1 axis with monoclonal antibodies to PD-1 and or its ligand, PD-L1, we could improve lymphocyte responses and reverse immunoparalysis for septic patients. Antibodies that block the PD-1 axis are called checkpoint immune inhibitors and are currently used to promote lymphocyte responses against some forms of cancer. By contrast, there are some patients with a hyperactive immune response with high plasma levels of pro-inflammatory cytokine, such as IL-6. In some cases, children may have sepsis-induced macrophage activation syndrome characterized by hepatobiliary dysfunction and disseminated intravascular coagulopathy. These children may respond to anti-inflammatory therapies, such as tocilizumab, an antibody that blocks IL-6 signaling, as this targeted therapy has been shown to be effective in children with severe cytokine release syndrome following chimeric antigen receptor T-cell therapy or CAR-T therapy. Children with sepsis-induced macrophage activating syndrome may also respond to an IL-1 receptor antagonist, such as anakinra, in order to block the pro-inflammatory response of IL-1 beta.
Can you tell us about any promising new treatments for sepsis that are currently being developed?
Yes, there are two large pediatric randomized control trials of immunomodulators underway to improve outcomes in pediatric sepsis. The first study I want to highlight is the Stress Hydrocortisone in Pediatric Septic Shock, or SHIPS trial. SHIPS is a multi-institutional, prospective, controlled, randomized, double-blind interventional trial that is examining the potential benefits and risks of adjunctive hydrocortisone prescribed for children with fluid and vasoactive inotropic refractory septic shock. A little over 1,000 children will be enrolled, randomized, and evaluated at baseline, at 28 and 90 days following their study enrollment. The hypothesis of the SHIPS trial is that adjunctive hydrocortisone will significantly reduce the proportion of children with poor outcomes, and poor outcomes are defined as death or severe impairment of health-related quality of life, as assessed at 28 days following study enrollment or randomization. Another interesting aspect of the SHIPS trial is that the investigators will test the hypothesis that biomarker-based prognostic and predictive enrichment strategies can improve our ability to identify which children with septic shock are more likely to benefit from adjunctive hydrocortisone and which kids might be harmed by these therapies. This trial will have a significant impact by providing the missing evidence to inform our guidelines regarding the use of corticosteroids to treat children with fluid and vasoactive refractory septic shock. The SHIPS trial is projected to be completed in the fall of 2025. This next trial that I want to talk about is the Personalized Immunomodulation in Pediatric Sepsis-Induced Multiple Organ Dysfunction Syndrome, or the PRECISE trial. PRECISE is a prospective, double-blind, randomized control trial that measures immune function using the whole blood LPS stimulation and TNF-alpha response test to determine whether a child with sepsis-induced multiple organ dysfunction syndrome is immunoparalyzed. This trial consists of three nested cohorts of participants. There are two randomized control trials embedded within this and an observational cohort. Eligibility depends on the results of the blood test and the clinical signs of mild to moderate versus moderate to severe inflammation. Depending on the immune phenotype upon enrollment in the trial, the child could be placed in one of the three groups. For example, participants whose blood test results show immunoparalysis with mild to moderate inflammation will be randomized to receive either GM-CSF or saline placebo. This is known as the GRACE2 trial arm. Participants whose blood tests do not show immunoparalysis, but who have mild to severe inflammation or who are immunoparalyzed with severe inflammation will be randomized to receive the targeted anti-inflammatory therapy anakinra versus placebo. This is known as the TRIPS trial arm. A third observational cohort is comprised of children who do not qualify for either the GRACE 2 or the TRIPS arms of the study based on their blood test results. The observational group consists of two sets of participants, those whose blood test shows either no immunoparalysis with mild inflammation or no immunoparalysis with severe inflammation. Those with no immunoparalysis and mild inflammation are expected to have a good outcome, while those with no immunoparalysis and severe inflammation, probably the hypothesis should be treated with medication and not be given placebo. The primary objective of the GRACE 2 and TRIPS trials is to show reduced duration and severity of organ dysfunction and death in children with sepsis-induced MODS. Secondary objectives include looking at the impact of the respective targeted immunomodulator therapies on health-related quality of life and functional status. The PRECISE trial is projected to be complete in the spring of 2026.
Wow, that sounds very exciting and promising. It's great to see such focused research on pediatric-specific sepsis, and it would be wonderful to one day be able to tailor our management for these children who all respond so differently to their own phenotype. Before we wrap up, Dr. Grunwald, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners about sepsis immunology?
Sure. I'd like to emphasize that sepsis can be a life-threatening condition in kids, but with early recognition and prompt treatment, the chances of recovery are greatly improved. It's important for parents and caregivers to be aware of the signs and symptoms of sepsis and to seek medical attention immediately if they suspect their child may be affected. It's also a complex condition, and our understanding of the underlying immunology is still evolving. However, with continued research and development of new treatments, there's hope for improving outcomes for children with sepsis.
Thank you so much, Dr. Grunwald, for sharing your expertise with us today. We appreciate your time and insights.
Thanks for inviting me. I really had a good time talking with you today about pediatric sepsis and my love of immunology. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.